Kevin Keith here for KNSRadioNetwork.com. Speaking today with Joe Huffer. Joe is the Rossville School Board President, incumbent, running for re-election here in 2024, coming up November 5th in the general election. Joe, thanks for sitting down and talking to me today.
Happy to do it. Thank you, Kevin.
Let's start off with those who don't know. Tell us about yourself. You've been as a school board member over the last decade in Rossville, and tell us about what you do outside of school, being a school board member.
Sure. Yeah, I've served on the school board for about 10 years now. I own a business in Lafayette, J.O. Hufford Coffee and Tea Company. We've got a coffee shop at the Tippecanoe Mall, and then also across the street, I've got a very large warehouse. We do a lot of business online through a couple of websites that we run. And then we do a lot of business with Amazon as well. Large gourmet kitchenwares dealer is what we do out of that business. So that keeps me busy. I think we've got, I don't know, 30 or 40 employees, depends on the season and that type of thing. So, but, and been doing that for about 30, almost 35 years now.
So. Wow. So you've got quite a business background then.
Yes, yes. I've owned several businesses over the past several years. I was an insurance agent for about 21 years in the Lafayette area, in addition to running the other company. So,
Well, like I said, I really appreciate you sitting down with me. Depending on who you talk to now in the Rossville area, the last couple of years, there's been some contention with the school board. I think you have that with every school board. So I don't think Rossville is the only one. I think that kind of ebbs and flows. There's a segment of the population, though, Joe, who has created a coalition, if you will, to replace you and a few others on the board for reasons due to their perception of the current board being a rubber stamp, not transparent, not approachable, among a couple other things that I wanted to go over here. At a recent school board meeting, you had said that Dr. Hanna won't put something on the slide or the agenda if he doesn't think it's going to pass or have interest, and you guys do that to save time. Could one argue that you would need to have some of those things on there to discuss some of these issues?
Well, and I understand that perspective, and I understand what you're saying there, but those items are discussed previously, you know, before the meeting, not as a group of school board members. And I think this is one of the misconceptions that folks maybe have. You know, I'm really proud of our organization. It's very highly organized. And so if an item, you know, if somebody has an idea, it could be anybody. It could be a parent, a teacher. Sometimes it's a student, or it's a principal, or it's, you know, Dr. Hanna, our superintendent, could be a board member. So let's say there's an idea of X. And so, you know, if that starts with a board member, that'll go to Dr. Hanna and it'll go down the chain of command. And because we want to get feedback, you know, board members sometimes have really good ideas and sometimes they don't, because we're not in the building every day. We're not dealing with students, you know, those kind of things. And so if a board member has an idea, it'll get it to Dr. Hanna. He'll take it to the principals. Maybe it'll go to the teachers or the custodians or whoever it may affect. On the flip side, if a teacher has an idea, that would go up the chain of command, go to the principal, go to the superintendent. And, you know, so things will get, you know, discussed behind the scenes. But, you know, for example, Dr. Hanna may call me. We talk several times every week. Sure. And he'll pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, thinking about, you know, we need a new bus or, you know, this and that. Here's where we're thinking about getting the financing from. What's your thoughts on that? What's your concerns? You know, what positive things? And you know, I just use a bus example, but it could be anything. Mm-hmm. Could be, you know, a dress code or, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think he kind of reaches out to several of the board members. And if he feels like that something's going to get shot down, you know, it dies, so to speak, before it gets to the, you know, to the meeting. And by the time it gets to the meeting, you know, it's our, and I also, you know, have regular phone calls with, when I say regular, they're not scheduled, but I'm on the phone with other board members, you know, every week.
Sure.
You know, talking one-on-one. And so, you know, we've got a great communication between all the board members and, you know, between Dr. Hanna. I honestly, I don't typically talk to, you know, principals. in the school, because that's, you know, again, we try to follow the chain of command. Mm-hmm. If there's an issue there or a concern, Dr. Hanna will talk to them, and the principals talk to the teachers. And so we really try to follow the chain of command. So what may look like, you know, we're just rubber stamping things, it's already been, as I say, you know, cussed and discussed. Right. You know, and a lot of things, you know, the board doesn't want to get in the way. If we've got a teacher that's identified something in the classroom that they want to change, you know, they'll take that to the principal. The principal is really one of the key people on that, because they're, you know, they're going to be one of the key ones to know, is this feasible to do?
Right.
Principal, if they think it's a good idea and it might work, then they're going to kick it up to Dr. Hanna, our superintendent. His role at that point is kind of going to be more legal and financial. You know, legally, can we do this? He's very, very good in understanding, you know, the legal aspects of everything. And then, of course, the financial piece. Can we afford to do it? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, if he says, hey, this looks like we can do it, then that'll get, you know, presented to the board. Well, the board at that point, if you've already got, you know, a teacher came up with the idea, they're for it, and the teachers in general, they've talked about it and like the idea or in favor of it. Principal's in favor of it. Dr. Hanna's the superintendent's in favor of it. I mean, the last thing he wants, the board getting in the way saying, well, wait a second, we're not so sure, you know, about doing this. And I'll give you an example as well. We recently hired a new middle high school principal and assistant principal. But we actually put a committee together, which included students. There were some faculty and teachers on that committee. There were parents on the committee. There were community members on the committee. And those folks, you know, vetted all of those candidates. They actually, normally they would come up with a couple, and then those would be sent to the board where we would do a final interview and approval. They actually came up, I think they maybe had, I don't remember the numbers, so I hate to misspeak, but it was several candidates that they had interviewed. Mm-hmm. They ended up sending us one candidate, and we approved that person. Again, if it's the last thing that I want to do is, you know, go against a committee that spent hours, you know, going through that process. Especially, I trust that committee, you know, because of the diversity of the folks that are on it. So our role, you know, I really feel like the board's role, the number one thing is, you know, to make sure the finances are in order, make sure that we've got enough money to, you know, pay the teachers and pay the salaries and that we're moving, you know, in a fiscally responsible way and those kind of things. That's one of the most important functions I feel of the board. And then to talk about, you know, big picture things, you know, do we need a building project? Do we need to put in a pool? Do we want to add football? You know, we're very proud of the fact that our football team remains undefeated.
That's right.
A joke, by the way, because we don't have football. So,
right.
Anyway, so that's a little bit about how that process works. But I do understand why folks who maybe come into a meeting, it looks like, well, wait a second, these guys don't ever have an original idea, and that's not true. That's because the meeting is really designed to just put the final stamp of approval on something.
And I think that's part of the concern that I've heard. It almost looks suspicious when everything is mm-hmm. already agreed upon, and you're saying that you do it for efficiency, which I certainly see. But I think I see both sides of that too, because if the homework has already been done by the time you get to a board meeting and there really is no discussion, I think that's where the suspicion comes, and right or wrong, I think people will have those perceptions.
Sure. And I've heard of other board meetings that are going on till midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked to several of the board members throughout the state. I go to, you know, quarterly conferences or twice a year conferences, mm-hmm. and they're like, holy cow, I wish that, you know, we ran as efficiently. We've had other, you know, folks from other schools come and, you know, view our meetings and ask questions. What can we change to make this a lot more efficient? Because they're just frustrated with, you know, their inefficiency, sometimes the inability to make decisions. And, you know, sticking around till midnight, 1 a.m. when you started at 7, that's a long day.
Yeah, you can get bogged down with presentations and stuff for sure. I wanted to talk about Dr. Hanna for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I found out earlier this year that he, and I think I found it out by watching a YouTube video where you were speaking about where he was delegated and putting the agenda together. And I've covered school boards all over the state for about 27 years, and it's, I can't think of one where the president didn't put the agenda together, being the elected official, being the elected official. Sure. I think Dr. Hanna, as the superintendent, should certainly be involved, but you guys are elected. Do you not think it would be more efficient if you put it together? And would Dr. Hanna,
I understand.
Would Dr. Hanna allow you to do that?
I understand that. Right. Oh, if we wanted to do it, he'd be happy to take that off his plate, I guarantee you. You know, so that's not a problem. What our board has, you know, the procedure that we follow is, you know, we delegate these tasks down to Dr. Hanna. He's in the school every single day. He's communicating with the principals and the assistant principals, sometimes the teachers. And so, you know, he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on. The school board members are not in the school, you know, every day, unless they've got a student there. And several of our school board members currently don't have anybody enrolled in the school. So, you know, I really feel like that he's still going to bring those things, you know, to the board. So whoever puts the PowerPoint together is kind of I guess I don't see it as a major issue and who's going to read the slides and make the presentations. We just had him do it. He's more familiar with that information than anybody. And, you know, that's what we do is we delegate that task down to him. And, you know, it also gets into a little bit of our policy. I got to be careful using the word policy, our belief that micromanaging is not good. And I see a lot of school boards where they just want to micromanage every single thing in the school. And it just bogs down the system. You've got to trust people, whether it's your principals or your cafeteria manager or your custodial manager, whatever it is, let them make the decisions. You know, my management style that's worked for me very successfully is that of a facilitator. You know, I want to give my employees the tools that they need to do their job. And that's my most important, you know, function other than making sure they get paid. Cause that's why we're all working is to get a paycheck. So, I want to make sure, you know, we want to be very conscientious about that. We're following the chain of command and that we're also not micromanaging.
So the school board are the elected officials. Dr. Hanna is not, superintendent is not an elected position.
Correct.
Now, Dr. Hanna and I think the board by association, some people in the district have felt that going back to Mr. Thompson's firing was kind of a retaliation that looked kind of petty on Dr. Hanna's part, and the board is kind of guilty by association on that, I think, in certain people's perception. Now, that's a done deal. I'm not here to argue that or judge that, but were you comfortable with the timeline overall of how the events worked out on that?
I was very comfortable with the, you know, end result and the decisions that were made. And as far as timeline, I was very frustrated that the, you know, Indiana State Police and the Department of Child Services, I always get that name mixed up. I forget what they're called, but I think it's DCS or something like that. But I was very frustrated because they took almost 7 weeks to complete this investigation. And that was very, very frustrating for everyone, for the entire community. You know, here you've got a principal that's, you know, been placed on administrative leave, rightfully so. And we're all just sitting here in limbo waiting for, you know, these two outside entities to complete, you know, their investigation. So, and that took, I think, about 7 weeks for that. So, but as far as the decisions that were made and you know, what we all agreed to, I was fine with all of that. So
I know that Dr. Hanna has done a lot of things for the county through being the school safety administrator with the superintendents and everything. And I know he certainly is well respected in many circles. And it's hard to gauge overall popularity on an individual who isn't elected. A couple of the YouTube videos, every time I saw someone who questioned if Dr. Hanna was right for Rossville, and somebody said he isn't, it got a round of applause from everybody who was there. And I know that I know that that would be because those people were probably there under a some kind of point of contention. They were there already worked up. Do you feel confident moving into this school year with Dr. Hanna at the helm?
100%. So, and I do want to address, you had mentioned about some retaliation thing with Dr. Hanna against, you know, Mr. Thompson, the principal. You know, there were several, you know, allegations against Dr. Hanna that were brought to the board from, you know, parents, members of this group, and the board diligently looked into every single one of them and couldn't find any merit to any of those. To think, and the retaliation one, I think, is one that bothers me the most, just because to think that Dr. Hanna was somehow laying in wait for Mr. Thompson to, you know, put his hands on a student. And then, I mean, that doesn't even, that doesn't make any sense. You know, if he wanted to take retaliatory action against a principal, you would start by, you know, giving them poor reviews and, you know, making their life miserable as an employee and that kind of things. You're not going to sit around and wait for them to make a critical error, before launching this plan. That just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. So as far as the retaliation, so
I never knew the full details of that. I know that some of the concern was that Mr. Thompson had done something that Dr. Hanna didn't like, and I don't know what that was. But then that's where the retaliatory accusation, I guess, came into play from my standpoint, from the stories I had heard. Both, you know, again, good and bad.
Sure, and I can expand on that if you'd like. So, and that might be good to clear the air. You know, and I can tell you the story that I received from Mr. Thompson. There was a student that was unruly, and the police were called. The police put the student in handcuffs and had them in custody. And unfortunately, for some reason, unbeknownst to everyone, Mr. Thompson, his own words, walked up to the student and put him in a headlock. And that's just, I don't understand why you would do that. When the kid's already, there's a police officer right there, he's in police custody. And this is exactly the story that I heard. Mr. Thompson told this directly to me. So from his mouth to my ears, this is not secondhand that I'm hearing. Now, the parents of that student, later at a school board meeting, had claimed that the student had said that he was choked. Again, that's hearsay. So I can't speak to that. I can only speak to the story that I received from Mr. Thompson directly.
So I
was unhappy with that as well. And I think a lot of people were. I don't understand. One of the things I really struggle to understand is why some of these community members are so supportive of someone that, you know, if it was their child that was, you know, that was done to, I don't feel like they'd be very happy. And as a board, we don't feel that those kind of actions can go without consequences. And many members of this group feel like that what I've heard is he didn't do anything wrong. We need to bring him back. And I think what they're looking at is the fact that the state police declined to, you know, not state police, the prosecutor declined to, you know, prosecute, which personally I was happy about. I don't want to see the guy's career end with him, you know, so.
Right.
That'd be horrible. So,
whether there is a concern, and I'm almost done with this topic of the transparency and the rubber stamping, as we've said, there is a concern. There's that perception. There's that segment of the community that feels that. And again, there's some people running against you and a couple others to try to take over those positions. If reelected, would you change some things as far as maybe putting an agenda together a couple times a year, or doing it with Dr. Hanna, or running the meetings, or anything else?
You know, one of the things I've said in my business, and I believe this, is the only thing constant is change. And you know, that's a little pun, but it's absolutely true. So we're always looking, you know, for change. You know, the state legislature, you know, recently required that in, I think it's July of next year, we have to start live streaming our board meetings. Well, we started doing that last month. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always looking for how can we, you know, make things better. And there's a couple examples I'm going to give you of, you know, transparency that we do. I mean, our meetings are now online and broadcast, mm-hmm. and we do save them so you can go back and watch them later. So if you can't, you know, be there at 7 o'clock Eastern, you can always go back and look at it anytime. We've right. got 10 minutes of our 10 years of our minutes are stored on our website. So you can go back and look for years past. That's I talked great. About, you know, when we hired a principal and assistant principal, this committee that was, you know, had folks from every walk of life, community members, parents, teachers, you know, we're again, that's not the school board going in and, you know, the five of us picking a principal. We have a committee that we want to see, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. One of the problems with transparency is privacy laws, you know,
true.
With this recent incident with Mr. Thompson, for example, there was a report from the Department of Child Services. That's a confidential report. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen it, the board members have seen it, but we cannot release that information, and what's in that report, I can't do that. So, mm-hmm. And as an employer, there's also certain things that you can't release as well, because you may be violating an employee's right. So, you know, we try to be as transparent as possible, and if we find ways to be more transparent, we want to do that. But we also, there's times when we just can't provide the answers, and you know, I feel like you've got to trust the board. That's why you elected them. You know, if you don't agree with my policies or some of the other board members, I understand that. If you don't like Dr. Hannah, I'm fine with that. So, and if you think we made the wrong decision on this, you know, past year, I respect your opinions on that, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, what I hope is that folks can respect the board and say, there's no way I'm ever going to have the full story on this situation. Not respect the board, trust the board, mm-hmm. and say, because this is a school, I'm probably never going to get the full story, but I've got to trust these people on the board are good people and that they've made the right decision. And that's where I'm at. I trust everybody on the board. I trust Dr. Hannah. You know, I'm very comfortable with him continuing on. If we were to lose Dr. Hannah, it would be a huge loss, but we would survive, you know, just like losing Mr. Thompson. A lot of folks thought that was a huge loss, and he did. There were several things that he did that was very good for this school. Mm-hmm. But you know, the one of the earmarks of a quality organization is, does it run around one person, or is it, you know, is it systems dependent where multiple people, and if we've got a principal that leaves or a teacher that leaves or is on sick leave or whatever, do things just continue on? And, right. and they do at Rossville. So, and that's what we want.
That's powerful. That's important, I think, as well. I think the one thing that stuck in people's crawl, so to speak, was that Mr. Thompson wasn't allowed to come back for the graduation. You know, he wasn't allowed to be on the grounds, and that just sounds a lot worse. And I think that's one reason why it just really stuck with people. It just kind of just left a bad taste in their mouth, you know, as to how it ended, not necessarily why, I guess.
Sure.
So let's talk about what you can do as the president and what the board can do overall to continue to help our number one asset in every public school, Joe, and that is the teachers. What have you done the last couple years? This is a crazy world we live in 2024 with technology and smart boards and everything in classrooms. What can the board continue to do to help teachers?
So we're very, very thankful, you know, for all teachers, not just our teachers, but for all teachers. Mm-hmm. I mean, these folks are truly servants. There's not a single one of these people that chose this profession because of the money,
right.
Because they're some of the lowest paid quality employees in our society, unfortunately. And that's, you know, across the United States, that's
yeah.
not just in Indiana.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we are always trying to do whatever we can to keep the teacher salaries as high as possible. One of our accomplishments is our starting salary is the highest of any school in both Clinton or Carroll counties. And our highest teacher is also the highest paid teacher in both of those counties as well.
Wow.
And so, you know, when folks talk about, well, how are you doing on teacher salary? Well, we can always do more. We want to do more. And we're always looking for ways to how can we do that? But how do we compare to others? We're leading the pack, and we are proud of that. But I'm also not proud of the fact that, you know, teachers are still some of the lowest paid, you know, employees out there. You know, one of the things with us is our, you know, for every student that we have at Rossville, we get about $7,000 from the state. So it doesn't take very many, you know, students to fund a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
About seven students, and there, you know, there's extras on there with workers' comp and insurance and those kind of things. But seven or eight students, we can afford to hire another teacher. And we've got about 906, I think. Yeah, 906 is our current count. So,
wow.
You know, it doesn't take very many to make a difference in adding two or three teachers. So mm-hmm. as more folks move into the community and that kind of thing, I hate to throw this on the legislature, but, you know, they are the ones that unfortunately control the purse strings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, it comes down to funding, you know, from them. We can do what we can do to try to increase, you know, our enrollment. And we do, we've got about 180 kids that live outside the district that go to school at Rossville. Their parents have chosen that mm-hmm. they want their kids to come to Rossville, even though they got to provide their own transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we pull those folks from all over. We're very proud of that. So, but, you know, and yeah, take 180 times 7,000. That's a substantial number, mm-hmm. to, you know, go toward teacher salaries or whatever we needed to go toward. That's a big deal for us. So, but I just think I would love to, you know, we got to do things with the legislature to figure out how can we go cut some waste somewhere and get that money reallocated to teacher salaries.
Amen.
So they're, again, I think they're one of the most important people in society. I'm not trying to say that, you know, the garbage collector or the janitor is not important, but I mean, we're entrusting these people with our kids, mm-hmm. you know, our most precious asset. And my heart aches every time we do a teacher orientation day, and we've got part of our teacher orientation is how to stop a massive bleeding on a student. Nobody signed up for that.
Right.
You know, and we do drills on, you know, I can't remember the term right now, but basically if somebody came in, an active shooter drills.
Mm-hmm.
Again, nobody signed. You didn't go to college to become a teacher so that you could learn how to stop, you know, bleeding and do an active shooter drill. You went to college to become a teacher so that you could hopefully make the world a better place and maybe educate the next president or the guy that cures cancer, gal.
Right.
So, you know, so. Make a difference in the students' lives. That's what the teacher's motivation is.
You mentioned
but we got to figure out a way to pay them more.
You mentioned there's 180 families that consciously choose Rossville, not living in that school district. Give us two or three reasons why they do that, Joe.
Well, let me correct you real quick. It's not 180 families. It's 180 students.
Students, okay. Students,
so
right.
So maybe it's 90 families or, you know, I don't know how many the average is per, but yeah.
Sure,
so I didn't
sure.
beat it. You know, I just think because of the environment at Rossville, you know, for years, Rossville's, you know, it's a very safe school. Dr. Hannah has put, as you talked about earlier, safety is one of the top priorities. We don't have some of the, you know, major issues with disruption and, you know, drugs and those kind of things that you see in some of the larger schools. I think our, you know, academics, even though we don't have a broad, you know, as much curriculum as we want, and we're working on that with some of the online stuff that we're recently introducing. But, you know, 2 years ago, in 2022, we had our graduating class, 65% graduated with a 3.0 or higher.
Wow.
Now, that was the same year that Chicago reported that 58 of their schools, 58 schools in Chicago, didn't have a single student who could read or write at grade level.
Wow.
And yet somehow we're graduating 65% of our kids in that class at a 3.0 or better. That's just, I mean, you know.
That's amazing.
Again, that's the importance of academics here. That's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's, and that, I mean, obviously those kids are working incredibly hard to do that and making a huge effort. But that, you know, that also reflects on the teachers and the administration and the, you know, the community and the value that they place on that education, on excellence.
So you've been sitting there for 10 years on the school board. What are one, two, maybe three things, Joe, that come to your mind that you are most proud about, that you had a big hand in, whether it was your idea or something that you and the board at the time collectively came together and implemented, instituted for Rossville Community Schools? It's made a real difference.
I think, you know, that like we talked about the teacher salaries, you know, we're, even though that's a struggle every year, and I know a lot of folks say, you know, can you commit to keeping up with inflation? And that was what we want, at least that, because if you're just keeping up with inflation, you're not even getting a raise, quite honestly.
Right,
you're just keeping up with inflation.
Right.
So, but, you know, the fact that we've got the highest, you know, salaries in our two counties that we serve. We did a $20 million building project within the last 5 years, and we did that without having to raise taxes. That was a huge deal for us because that's a pretty substantial, you know, building project. We redid our main entrance, has added to the safety. A new ag facility, another gymnasium or field house that we added on. So there were several improvements that were made to the building and upgrades, and then, you know, additional facilities that were added. And to do that size of a building project without having to raise the taxes was a huge, huge deal. And then I think, you know, like I say, I'm just blown away by that class that had 65% 3.0 or better. So especially in this environment where, you know, folks are not, you know, taking school seriously, unfortunately, at least not in Chicago and some of the, you know, areas not too far from here. But to have, you know, that kind of a graduation rate, I'm very, very proud of that. So,
as we should be, absolutely.
That went into that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So my final question would be, you've got these 10 years of experience under you. You've seen a lot probably change in 10 years with technology and things and goals and building projects and stuff. As a president of the school board, is there, again, one, two, three things that are on the horizon that you could let us know or that you see that are coming up that we need to be aware of as a board, as a community?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the things that we're starting to go down the path now is, you know, I think they call it virtual learning. It's basically where, you know, you can offer online courses. You know, and I think that's a huge step in the right direction. We currently don't offer, for example, French, but, you know, every student at Rossville has a computer. There's no reason that we couldn't schedule a study hall room and put a student in that study hall with their computer from 2 to 3 p.m. for, you know, last hour or whatever hour, and they're taking an online French class. You know, we don't have to have a teacher in the building that teaches French, but yet we could still offer that as part of our curriculum. So, you know, but how can we embrace, you know, that technology to, again, offer more things, you know, to our students? So, so that's one that comes to mind. You know, 20 years ago, that wasn't even an option. And now today it is.
Right.
So I've talked about, I don't know if this would get any traction, but can we flip that? Can we, you know, hire teachers that would teach online courses? And, you know, now maybe instead of 903 kids, I've got 1,903 kids, but I'm only housing 900 of them because we've got students all over the country that are, you know, paying us to learn a skill that our teacher is teaching. And maybe I've got 8 kids in the classroom and 25 online that are taking the same class. I don't know if those are feasible or not, but
that's an interesting concept. That's certainly thinking outside the box.
Think outside the box. You know, it's a different, like I say, the only thing constant is change, and we've got to keep up with that. We've got to be always evolving and always, you know, moving forward. So Mario, I'm a huge race fan. Mario Andretti said one time, if everything seems under control, it's because you're not going fast enough. And I believe that. So, so we got to keep pushing forward, keep moving. So,
Joe, any final words before I let you go here?
No, I don't think so. I, you know, appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I hope I've cleared things up. You know, our board members are available via, email. Several of us have our phone number published, and we're always open to, you know, for communication to folks, you know, to talk to us. You can always come to a board meeting, and we give you 3 minutes to say whatever you want on any topic, that kind of thing. So I'm the kind of person that, you know, instead of just getting 3 minutes at a board meeting, I'd rather somebody call me and let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. If you got a concern or if you got an idea, that's where, you know, that's how those things get started and get changed and moving. So,
all right. Yeah. School board president for Rossville, Joe Huffer. Joe, thanks again for talking to me today. Best of luck on November 5th.
Thank you very much.